we're talking about how the ROEs became more prevalent, and you're talking about how we lost a lot of people and how that contributed.
Yes, that did. We lost people, and we couldn't keep up with the missions. So eventually, we had no peacekeeping missions. We had nobody going on peacekeeping. Nowadays, it's the only thing they go on now is like things like Bosnia or Afghanistan, where they're peacemaking instead of peacekeeping, and they don't have people all over the place like we used to have. We used to have teams all over the place. We should have had kept it up because we could have stopped the, as far as I'm concerned, we could have stopped the genocide in Sudan. And the Janjaweed were killing the men in the villages, raping the women, and they were stealing everything, so stealing all the corn, so then everybody starved. So then the UN had to open up camps. We should have been there. Our peacekeepers should have been there and protecting the grain. And when they brought in the corn and the grain and stuff like that, our peacekeepers should have been there protecting it from being stolen by the Janjaweed, who are mass rapists and murderers. And that was backed by the Sudanese government. And the reason that they're doing all this is it's the Arabs trying to wipe out the blacks, and what they want to do is take over all the oil, because some of the places where the oil is, there's these villages, so they're just killing everybody and wiping them out. It's a genocide, and it's slow genocide. It's been going on for a couple of years, and we should have been there. We have what they call responsibility to protect RTP, and we're not doing it. They said that we would do it from now on after Rwanda, and we haven't done it. We haven't done it.
So do you feel that the reason we've got so many more rules and guidelines, like rules of engagement, is because almost our force is more inexperienced about peacekeeping now, because we used to be everywhere, so it was almost second nature, and now it's a new thing for most people?
Well, they're not doing peacekeeping anymore. They're doing hot peacekeeping support. It's they're still trying to protect the women and build schools and all this, and fix bridges and dig wells. They're still trying to do that, but they have to protect them. As soon as they get the school built and they leave, the Taliban comes in and burns it down and beats up all the women that went to school. Even in Kandahar City, they've thrown acid in the faces of the girls going to school and stuff like that. It's a very violent society and a very violent religion, Islam. They say it's a religion of peace, but I doubt it. Not the ones I've seen, anyways. Talking about that, the Maasai have a lot of Islamic customs because of the Arabs trading in Africa and East Africa and that. And the Maasai used to be warriors that would capture people from other tribes and sell them to the Arabs, who sold them to the Portuguese, who sent them to Haiti. That's the way it worked in the olden days. Anyways, they have adopted a lot of their crazy things, like that mutilation of young girls to cut out their clitorises. And we had a big meeting, and we were all there. Michael and the Maasai was there, and the chiefs and everybody. And I said, well, look, you're saying that if we try to change you, we'll change your customs, and you don't want to change your customs. I said, well, at least use a different knife on each little kid. I said, at least put a new blade in or something, because they're only spreading AIDS. And can you supply these young ladies with sanitary napkins to keep the flies off so they won't get infected? Because as soon as they have the operation, they're back herding cattle again. They're right out there in the flies and everything. And they were dying. I mean, the young kids were dying. And the grandmothers and the aunts are all party to the offense. I told them all that, and they said, you're trying to change our culture. I said, yeah, I'm trying to save these kids' lives. But Michael said, hey, that's a good idea about the sanitary napkins. I said, I never thought of that. I said, well, it stands to reason for the first few days until the scab comes on, it would keep the flies off and anyone get infected. So then he ordered a whole pile of, from England or somewhere, he ordered a whole pile of sanitary napkins for that, because they have, it goes on all the time. This is Maasai, by the way.
It's beautiful.
It's Maasai.
It's beadwork.
Yeah, it's, what do you call it, passport.
All righteous So we're coming to the end here. And do you have any further comments or insights, just looking back and the idea of sort of your rules and how they've changed over the years?
Well, the rules of engagement now are hot word rules. I mean, and they have them. I haven't seen a copy of them written down or anything. And I don't think I ever saw the rules of engagement written down for me. But I did see daily orders coming out, and orders put on the wall that said, when you're on patrol, you can put one up the spoke, make sure the safety's on. And the rest of the time, because your magazines are all loaded, so just put them on the rifle and not one up the spoke. So, but you see how fast that was when Freddie was standing beside that great big guy. It was quick, quick. The guy backed up right away. It was quick, so you don't really need one up the spoke. But I guess if 1 second can save your life, then you do need one up the spoke. And they have to have that. When I worked at the police station, I wrote up all kinds of people for awards, and they got them. And they were Mounties that I wrote up, because they brought me, once they've been on a peacekeeping mission, then they come under me because I'm the National Honors and Awards Chairman for CAVNA, Canadian Association of Veterans, United Nations Peacekeeping. So I worked with Mounties, and they were coming in the office all the time. One guy, I was written up by a Russian general. They said, oh yeah, said, let me see it. And I said, I read it, and I said, well, you should have the Meritorious Service Cross. Well, he said, they sent the things into headquarters. So I checked into it, and the old Sergeant Major, our SAMP Sergeant Major, was just PAing them on their first class. Putting them away. He wasn't doing nothing with them. So I said to him, okay, I said, well, make me copies of this. And then they wrote all over the country and got other guys and sent in. I had about 10 of them I was working on. I went around, I got a bunch of retired RCMP chief superintendents. I explained them what happened, and they said, oh, that's wonderful, go for it, write them up. And then they wrote me letters backing up what I said. I sent them all into the chancellery, and they were all given MSMs or MSCs. And one guy got a mentioned in dispatches, and I said, oh geez, you're the UN civil. Only military people are supposed to get MIDs. But I said, oh well, I said, I said to the infantry guys that I know from Korea, and that MIDs were all my heroes. They said, I know you're not getting another medal, but you get the oak leaf on your Bosnia medal or whatever it is. I said, that's better than a medal, that oak leaf. And you get after your name, you get MID. And he said, oh. So he's one of the few, one of the few guys, he's got mentioned in dispatches, which is only, usually it's soldiers that get them in the front line. But he got it for sort of pulling a bunch of guys out of under fire or something in Bosnia or something like that. I was reading the thing, and I, stressed that when I did the write-up on them. And then when I briefed each of the chief superintendents that were backing me up, I said, stress the fact that, he's fallen through the cracks, and they should have been recognized on the spot and all this stuff. And it worked. I mean, they all got recognized. So that's one of my jobs is writing people up for medals that fallen through the cracks, like the Mounties. Yeah, I got pictures of some of them thanked me, and others didn't bother. But I had guys, they said, that guy shouldn't get it. He was in Haiti. He said, that's not a war. I said, yes, it is. I said, ever heard of the Tonton Macoute? He said, these guys, there was a big truck accident. The truck went over, and people were all wounded and dying and everything, and the RCMP jeep stopped. And they ran out, and this guy was given mouth-to-mouth, and there's 70% AIDS in some of those villages. I said, that alone is the brave act to do. Not the fact that he saved all these lives, because he was stopping bleeding and bandaging people and taking off his belt. So because the truck rolled over, and the guy's leg and crushed it and all this stuff, and he's cutting the circulation off with the blood spurting all over the place and all this stuff. So these guys all were recognized. This other guy, I guess, he said, well, I wasn't all that, He said, I've been in a car accident. I said, been like that. And I said, not in a UN mission yet. It's okay in the Papay Hyria, but in a car accident. And I said, I work for all of my members have 3 car rollovers, and they have all kinds of blood and all kinds of stuff like that. They're not on a peacekeeping mission. These other guys signed up, went overseas, and they're on a peacekeeping mission in country. And they were written up by American General or whoever it was that was there. But nobody did anything with it. They sent it back to Ottawa and put it away on their files. But they had copies. The guys had copies. So they brought it to me. And so that's why all over the country the guys are coming to me, you see, with the stuff. And my chief constable used to let me work out at night shift. They used to work out at night shift. And he's an ex-Mountie.
So just making sure people get the proper recognition.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I think about Tiny Moron, too.
Exactly.
Him and his guy should get, you know, it's not a big deal, you know. It's just the SSM, the Special Service Medal, with essay on it. That's all. That's all they need.
Yeah.
So then they can say that they were recognized. I mean, these young guys went, they went in there with, you know, they were at war. It was the War Measures Act. When you hear the Prime Minister declare war on a terrorist group, it's a war. It's not a peacekeeping mission. It's not aid to the civil power. When you hear the Prime Minister tell the guys to go and fill sandbags at a flood or to sweep the streets in Toronto because there's a snow on them or whatever, that's aid to the civil power. That's the difference. And that's the bottom line. They weren't recognized and they still aren't.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Oh,
I think that'll be extremely useful for me.
I'll give you a drive home if you like.